want to shuffle and take your seats, that'd be lovely. Thank you. Lovely to see you all. We're all playing musical chairs in the building now, if you can't see on the video. It's awesome. I hope everybody's okay. Hope everybody over there is okay. So far, I've had an awesome morning. I've just completely mixed up two names and scared someone out of scared someone out of their socks, but it's all fine. So, good morning. Welcome. Let's pray, and then we're going to have a little bit of scripture. Father God, we thank you for being with us today. We come today to worship you. We come here to bring you our troubles, trusting that you are a big enough God to handle anything. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given us, from the breath in our lungs to the food that we eat, to the amazingness that we have every day. I don't know if amazingness is a word. Lord, be with us today as we worship you. Make it worthy of you and make it to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. From the book of Malachi. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Let's move on with our service. We're going to just pray for the kids and the leaders, and then we will send them out. Father God, bless the children of this church family. Be with them as they learn more of you, and help them to draw closer to you in this world that is full of so many distractions that can lead them away. Lord, I lift up and I thank you for the people who are willing to give their time to lead the junior church. Lord, bless them. Give them strength and time and inspiration in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, off you go. And I'm going to invite Carol up to do the notices for us. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's really good to see so many of you in the building this morning, and also, of course, on YouTube. A extra special welcome to Mary Taylor, this lovely lady down at the front here, who's from the YBA, and she's going to come and speak to us later. So it's lovely to have you with us. Thank you. Hardly seems a week's gone by. It's Sunday again. I don't know about you, but the weeks really do seem to be flying. I was going to ask Philip for an update for the Christmas weeks, but he's not here. So I think safe to say we don't have to worry too much about that at the minute, do we? We've got lots to look forward to. It's getting a bit lighter, hopefully getting a bit warmer, and we've got a lot to look forward to, haven't we? So thank you again for the worship. It'd be wonderful as always. And also to the guys at the back. I think sometimes we forget that they're there, but if they weren't there, we wouldn't be doing this, would we? So thank you so much for all that you're doing this morning and every week. And of course, Livy's just asked me to mention that if anyone is willing to join the tech team, you know, we mentioned it a while ago and we've got a good team together, but we could always do with a few extras. So if anybody's happy to do that, you can do as little or as much as you like. Full training will be given, as they say. Anything that you're comfortable with, you know, it would be really good. So if you feel that that's something you could do, Liv is the lady to see. Just a few notices then for this week. Tomorrow, Monday morning, 9:30, it's the prayer and meditation meeting at 9:30, and that's via Zoom. And tomorrow evening, the trustees are meeting at 7 o'clock. And among other things, we'll be discussing the recent developments in the COVID saga. We've had a few developments this last week, haven't we, from the government. So we'll just be looking at where we stand and following, as we've always been doing, the BU guidelines to decide the best way forward. It's looking quite positive again at the minute, isn't it? So, but we will do that, and then we'll send a letter out or an email to let everybody know what's happening. And then Tuesday morning, we do have the mums and tots meeting as normal next door at 10 o'clock. I get quite a lot of information from the Christian Institute, and they have sent me some information about a series of meetings that they're having in our area. It's called Show Foundations. There's some leaflets at the back. I'll just show you what it looks like. If you want to have a look at that, if you're interested, that's there at the back. As usual, the update email will be sent out, letters tomorrow. And the Facebook page, of course, is always regularly updated. But as I say every week, please do talk to us, get in touch if there's anything that you need. I've got a little story to share this morning. It's a true story. It happened quite a long time ago, probably about 10 years. But it had such an effect on me. It's still in my mind and I can still remember it very clearly. So I just thought I'd share it with you. When my lovely mum was still around, she died a few years ago now, we used to go shopping every Saturday to a supermarket nearby. We used to have a cup of tea and a bacon sandwich. It was something that we really enjoyed doing, and we did that every week, and then we came home. Well, one Saturday, we'd followed the same routine. We'd been doing this, had a lovely time, and as we arrived home, began to unload the shopping, I realised that my handbag was missing. Now, sorry for this, guys, a minute, but I think handbags really are a bit of a lady thing, aren't they, you know? And I don't know about you, my life's in my handbag. If I lose my handbag... So you can imagine, shock, horror, panic. Well, then I thought, calm down, you know, let's see what we can do about this. So the first thing I thought, we'll ring the supermarket and see if by some remote chance it's been handed in. We know how these things work, don't we? It's very rare that we get the things back that we lose. I picked up the telephone. These were the days of the landline. We didn't use the mobiles quite as much, so you can tell it's quite a while ago. And as I picked the phone up to speak to the supermarket, there was a message on there, and it was the supermarket asking me to ring them because my handbag had been handed in. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Such a relief. So I thought, right, I'll ring them and find out what I need to do and everything. But it got better, because when I got there, the first thing that they did was to apologise for having to look in my handbag. I mean, they took the life in their hands looking in that bag, but they had to do that to find out how to contact me, so that was absolutely fine. And then they went on to explain that an elderly lady had handed my handbag in. I'd left it on the little hook, you know, on the trolley. And they said that I was really very lucky to get it back, because only the following week they'd had quite a few thefts reported. So that was something else that was just quite wonderful, really. Got the page. So this kind lady, which saved me so much grief, she'd left her contact details so that I could contact her, and just to say thank you, of course. So I did. I rang her. And I just, well, you know, you're just so relieved. And I thanked her so much for what she'd done. And she just said, I thank God I was able to do something to help. And there was just something about the way that she said, thank God, you know, that only a Christian can, really. And she was a Christian. So I thought, this is just amazing. So, of course, we had a really good chat, because, you know, I like to talk. And, you know, I said, you know, can I have your address? I would just like to send you a thank you. No, she said, if you want to do anything, put it in your church offering. That's good enough for me. So I just thought then, what a wonderful example this is of the Lord using his children to help each other. I know he helps everybody, but I just thought that was such a really special thing. Maybe he sent an angel, because they come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? But more miraculous, I think, really to me, was God's perfect timing. Because as I thought about this series of events and the way that it had panned out, I realised that this lovely lady was handing my handbag in just as I was driving out of the car park. And the Lord was solving my problem before I even knew I had one. And I thought, this is just, well. And then in Genesis 28, it does tell us, wherever you go, I will watch over you. Even in supermarkets. It's not in the Bible, that. I just popped that in. Just in case you're wondering what she's on about. I won't leave you. I will do all I've promised. Absolutely amazing. And the next day in church, one of the hymns we sang was Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And you know that second verse where it said, Father, like he tends and spares us. And In his arms, he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. And I thought, he's really speaking to me here. So every time I hear it, I know, it reminds me that he's constantly looking out for us, isn't he? Individually, personally meeting all our needs. The creator, saviour of the world, is concerned about me losing my handbag. No more to be said. It doesn't get much better than that, does it? So in a couple of moments, Mary's going to be coming up to speak to us. But before she does, I'm just going to do the scripture reading. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, they're on these wonderful little app things that you have. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. To the church in Laodicea. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For, you say, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from my gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Also, I am conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Now.
Well, thank you very much for the welcome. It's good to be with you. It's been, I don't know, years perhaps since I was here. And it's nice to be back in South Yorkshire again, which was my stamping ground at one point. And greetings from the other YBA churches. So last week I was across on the East Coast at Scarborough, been over to Halifax, so beginning to travel around. And churches are beginning to find ways forward to meet again, to be with one another, and to rebuild or to restart or to start something fresh that God is calling you to. So, here we are, Revelations. I think you're in a series about healthy churches, is that right? And here we have this powerful letter at the beginning of Revelation. Are there any Line of Duty fans in the building? Put my glasses on so I can see the hands up. Right, there's quite a few. Have any of you Line of Duty fans or others seen the recently circulating video of the Line of Duty team investigating Boris Johnson? One or two. And you can pass it on to those who haven't. It's very funny, but very serious. But the point about it is, and why I raise it, is that it requires us to understand several things as we watch it. So we have to understand, and this goes for you who've not watched it, which actually includes me, Line of Duty is all about investigating corruption in high places. We also need to understand, and this is about the context, we need to understand the news that's coming at the moment about parties at number 10 and other places. And we also need to understand all about lockdown and the regulations and all that you're going to be talking about with the trustees tomorrow. And the pandemic, the context, the experience of different people through the pandemic. Now, 2,000 years from now, will that make sense to anybody who watches the video? It's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky because of all those things. And the passage in Revelation is a bit like that. It's a good illustration of how we, it really helps us as we study scripture to know something about the place, about the time, about the events, about the setting of any passage in the Bible. It really helps us to understand what was being said. And especially we need it because it's really offensive, isn't it? Did you all sit up in your seats as it was read? It's offensive. It's strong, strong language, isn't it? I know what you're doing, Jesus says. You're not hot, you're not cold. Literally, you make me sick. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And we've sung some very lovely, comforting songs, and I was sitting there thinking, my message doesn't feel like that, does it? And I particularly loved, and it was very deeply helpful to me, the one about my troubled soul. But then I'm reading this, and it's talking about, you're making me sick. You're making me sick. So I am going to bring you some history and some archaeology, because I think it helps us. And apologies if you know this, you know, back to front, but I think it helps us to remind ourselves. So Laodicea, or Laodicea, or however you want to say it, a place in Turkey, one of those seven churches of Asia Minor. At the time Revelations, the book of Revelations, was written, it was a very rich city. Maybe it was like, I don't know, rich city, London, York, somewhere like that, perhaps. Sheffield, even. And it was a rich city, and they had earthquakes. That's also relevant, because that's what eventually destroyed it after this letter was written. Number two, it had an ingenious Roman water supply. And you can go there and you can see parts of it. Have been uncovered. And the thing about this water supply, which you'll immediately see why it's important, it carried water from quite a distance from a place where there were hot lime springs, limey mineral springs. And by the time it got to Laodicea, it was mineral laden. Sometimes that makes you gag in the first place, and it was lukewarm. It was neither hot nor cold. Yuck. Now, I told you it was wealthy, didn't I? There were lots of traders there. There were lots of temples. There was a mint. They produced their own coinage. Gold coins with pictures of gods and emperors on them. And in fact, the town was so rich, and you can hear this echoed in the letter, they'd famously said, no thank you, to help from Rome after there'd been a severe earthquake. No thank you, we don't need anything, we're rich, we've done well, we don't need anything. And there it is in the letter. It's not what your average Red Wall MP says, is it, when talking to the whips? But there we go. And then it was famous for a couple of other things. Again, you'll see why I'm mentioning it. It had a trade in black woolen cloth. Black cloth. And it also had a medical school famous for its eye treatments. It probably had a salve for putting on eyes. So everything in this letter is really, really local, relevant, specific to the context. So we can immediately understand it, can't we, in a much more vivid way. But what's interesting is it's clear that the church is identified very closely in its characteristics with the city, and not in a good way. Not in a good way. What was wrong? What was wrong? Well, we could speculate all sorts of things. All of the seven letters in Revelation, are you studying all of them? Are you looking at all of them? No, just this one? Okay.
Oh.
On the fourth, right. Not doing them in order. So, all of the cities you already understand, all the places written to, they were written at a time of persecution for Christians. And they're an invitation. The whole of Revelation is this invitation to look up at the risen Lord Jesus and know he is ruler of history, and that nothing will come between these Christians, believers, in this time of persecution and their ultimate salvation and their ultimate rescue. So that the whole book's about that. And some of the other seven churches are commended for standing firm, are commended for not denying the name of Jesus. These were churches not massively far apart, and yet they were different. But some churches are being comforted in their persecution. But it seems that this rich church, these rich Christians, we can assume, in Laodicea, had fallen to the temptation to compromise. And maybe it was about using that gold currency for trade. Maybe it was that. Maybe because the coinage would probably have said things like, Caesar is Lord. Not Jesus is Lord, Caesar is Lord. Or maybe it was, and this is again, it's the context, they were pretending to be Jewish believers because Jewish believers were exempt from this fact that everybody had to worship the emperor. And it was beginning to be clear that the Christian church was emerging out of the Jewish faith. Maybe they were compromising in that way and not naming the name of their Messiah, Jesus. Not acknowledging that they were followers of Jesus. Maybe they were keeping quiet. There's something going on. In one way, we don't know for sure what it was that made them lukewarm, what it was about their works that was so deeply not good. But what is clear, I think, is that the church of the poor and the outcasts, which is where the church of Jesus started, had become too comfortable. They'd become too comfortable. They'd found with their riches, they had too much to lose. They kind of kept the name of the church. They were a church of Jesus, but they lost that inner heart somewhere. And they were no longer following in those footsteps of the faithful and the true witness, as Jesus is called, the faithful and true witness. And what did that faithful and true witness say? One of many things Jesus said was, you cannot serve God and Mammon, the God of money. You can't do it. You can't compromise. Your heart has to go one way or the other. You cannot be lukewarm. And yet, Jesus loves them. He says that, doesn't it? He calls them his friends. And he wants to see them. He wants them to see, to have their eyes healed. And he wants them to return. And so Jesus stands, it's a familiar image, isn't it? He stands at the door and he knocks. The door of the church, the door of Christians. It's a really familiar image for the idea of coming to faith, but actually this is to the Christians who have borne his name, and he asks to come in. So this church, Laodicea, of all the seven, I wonder, and this is me, I'm wondering, Is this a really important one for us here, in our context, in the UK, to take to heart? Is this one we really need to look at? Now, there are some parts of our world where Christians are being called on to witness faithfully in situations of persecution. There are some parts of our world where that is their experience, just like some of those other churches we've talked about. This afternoon, one of your fellow YBA churches is the Karen Baptist Fellowship in Sheffield, and I'm joining with them on Zoom. Well, you may not know, but they have come to this country because of the persecution of them as a Christian group within Burma. That's how they first came here. And over the holidays, the Christmas holidays, Karen villages in Burma were being burned and sacked. People were being killed, those Karen Christians, for their faith. But, and I know that for some people times are hard financially, we've had a tough time with pandemic, but maybe not so much as others, not so much as those other churches. Maybe our comfort and our wealth puts us more with the Laodicean church than we realise. Okay. So that's why I think the right focus for us as we meditate and as we ask and we listen to Jesus is to wonder on this wealth, the comfort, that maybe leads us to think we don't really need anything. We're not in need. We've got so much to keep us and help us. So many things to fall back on. Perhaps we forget that Jesus is there wanting us to fall back on him, on his resource, his aid. And we place our trust in all sorts of things. Nothing wrong with our pension or our bank account or our job or any of those. There's nothing wrong with them. But if we put our trust in them ultimately, we have put our trust in the wrong place. Not in Jesus, not in his radical call. So, I want to remind you of another time when Jesus invited himself for tea. Anybody guess? Zacchaeus. Yes, and I bet you could all sing the song as well, couldn't you? It was a very little man. That's probably sizes, isn't it, when you think about it. So, Jesus was invited to tea. The rich tax collector, and yes, Jesus didn't knock on his door. Jesus called up his tree and said, I want you to come down. I want you to come down. I'm asking you. I need to be at your house today. I need to come for tea. And he went in to eat with him, didn't he? And how did Zacchaeus, when Jesus came to eat with him, show his repentance? Can you tell me that? Because that often gets missed off. How did he show his repentance? He what?
He gave back what he'd taken.
It says he gave away half his wealth. And if he had defrauded anyone, he promised that he would give them four times what he'd taken. That is some massive repentance of a love of money, isn't it? That's huge. He made reparation to all those he'd injured, and he divested himself of his wealth. His holiness, if you like, his faithfulness, the truth of his conversion is measured in his generosity. And as I reflect on our churches, and again, it's me, I'm wondering, I'm reflecting. It maybe shows my biases, maybe. But I do think we have in our UK churches a lot of comfort, a lot of wealth, a lot of security. We've got secure church buildings, haven't we? We're not sitting under a frame that will be shaken by a tornado or flooded or any of those things. We have a lot of security, brothers and sisters. And, you know, a little bit later in archaeology, the Laodiceans built a big, big church. It's been dug up. They built a bit. It's a bit like those old mill churches that you see in West Yorkshire more. Big churches, big buildings, security, wealth, and it can make us sleepy, comfortable, prone to compromise. The faithful, true witness. It can make us lukewarm. And that's the warning from 2,000 years ago of this letter to us. And we know that Jesus knocks. Jesus is always knocking. It's all right, nuisance. Let me in. And it's urgent. It's like the urgent call of the bridegroom in Matthew, isn't it? Yeah, open the door, the bridegroom's here. And we have to be ready and listening to that urgent call. Let him in, let him in. And then to the one who conquers, the one who holds fast to their faithful witness, who follows in his footsteps, even to the cross, Jesus says, you will share my throne as I share the Father's throne. Now, as I said at the beginning, what we read in the Bible, it starts in a particular time, a particular place, a setting, just like the Line of Duty video. But our task, your task and mine, and this is individual, this is in my own heart, this is all of you together as you discern God's way ahead for you, especially as you ask questions now after this kind of hiatus, this interval we've been given. What is it that applies to us? How do we need to hear this in 2022? What does it mean in our lives? Listen, as it says, to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Make sure we're letting Jesus in, that we are listening. We are letting him in. We're examining our own works of comfort or of compromise and repenting, because that's what he wants. However falteringly we do this, we are stepping into that call to be true and faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ. And that occurs in Swallownest, just as it does in Wakefield, across Yorkshire, for every one of God's people and God's communities and churches of believers. Are we listening? Are we letting him in? Are we letting him transform us and change us? Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary. That was hugely challenging for me. I don't know about anybody else. Let's just take a minute in prayer to open ourselves to God. To say, Father God, show me the parts of me that are lukewarm. Show me the parts of me that are comfortable. Show me the parts of me that believe I don't need you. Father God, help us to pick those out, to lay them before you. To move one step closer to trusting you with every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that our worst persecution might be a rude word or a snigger. And Lord, we lift up to you those churches who are being persecuted right now. We lift up those people who are holding fast to you in situations where they're really scared. Lord, give them strength and courage. Help them to keep their eyes on you. And Lord, where there's things that we can do, show them to us. Help us to see those steps we can take to help our brothers and sisters. And Father God, I lift up for healing those who are sick. Those within our church family and in our extended family. Let's just take a moment to bring in our hearts the names of those that we know need healing at this time. Lord, we lift them up to you now. Father God, we thank you that you know and love each of those people that we've lifted up to you today. And we know that you are big enough to deal with anything that we can lay before you. So Lord, we pray healing in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, as we go out this week, make us burn for you. Make us shine. And don't let us be lukewarm. In your mighty name, amen. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless.